And these are baby chicks being transported on the back. And then when the chicks get really big, what do you suppose they use to transport them?
More bicycles.
Yeah, very good. These are chicken. These are, they're tied by their feet. The geese and the chicken are tied by their feet on their way to KFC. These are baby pigs. Now, have you seen this in Vietnam?
Yeah.
Okay. Because most of these photos are from Vietnam. And when the pigs get really big, what do you suppose they use? No, they start using trailers. These Vietnamese, they're good on these motorbikes. There's a guy on the back of a motorbike. Can you see all the bicycles and the motorbikes down the street? Yeah, it's a mirror. It's a guy sitting on the back of a bike. This is my wife's favorite. I think this short guy wants to grow, so he's getting a little stretched there. And this is because they don't have U-Hauls or Ryder trucks. And this is my favorite. Do you know how many are on that motorbike?
Nine.
I just want you to understand that we are so blessed here in America. Amen. If we have one car, and it has four wheels and an engine that runs, even if it's a Pinto, we are blessed. Amen? Okay. And God has blessed us with so much here for a reason. Is that correct? We were not just placed on this great, placed in this great nation by accident. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer before continuing on. Dear Lord, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you so much for Jesus and for all the blessings that come to us through him. Lord, you have blessed us with so much for a reason, and I pray that you speak to us this morning. Help us to understand why it is that you have given so much to us and why we are so privileged. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could turn the population of the earth into a small community of 100 people, keeping the same proportions we have today, this is what life would be like. 43 living without basic sanitation. 18 living without an adequate water source. 13 are hungry or malnourished. Now this child has not lost all his teeth because of junk food, but because of malnutrition, without essential nutrients, your bones and your teeth are very weak and they fall out easily. 14 can't read. Only 3 have an internet connection. If you keep your food in a refrigerator, your clothes in a closet, if you have a bed to sleep in and a roof over your head, you are richer than 75% of the entire population. Are you blessed? Okay. Just give me a second. There we go. 18 struggle to live on a dollar per day or less. 53 struggle to live on $2 per day or less. I used to pray this prayer, Lord, break my heart with the things that break the heart of Jesus, as I was finishing up at the seminary. Do you know why I prayed this prayer? Because the things that broke the heart of Jesus didn't break my heart. Did you know that every day over 24,000 kids die every day on this planet? And guess what? I didn't care. I eat my food. I go to sleep at night just fine. And I realized I had a problem, because if Jesus really lived in my heart, guess what? What matters to Jesus should matter to me. Amen? I began praying this prayer, and the Lord answered this prayer. He sent me to Cambodia for the first time in 2007. We visited one of the slums in Phnom Penh. A third of the people in Cambodia live on less than a dollar a day. The slums, they drink contaminated water. They don't have sanitation facilities. Disease and illness are rampant everywhere. The children grow up in the nearby slums while their parents work hard all day long, digging through the trash, looking for recyclables, plastic bags, metal cans. For a kilo of plastic bags, you can get up to 400 riyals, which is 10 US cents. For a kilo of metal cans, you can get up to 800 rials, which is 20 U.S. cents. These are hardworking Cambodians living in a land of no opportunities, living in a war-torn country. When the trucks pull in each afternoon, the people swarm around the trucks wanting to dig through the fresh trash. People are working in very filthy conditions just to put a little rice on the table. Here's a little kid with their bag working alongside the adults instead of being in school. Children using the dump for a playground. And I'm saying life is not fair. Life is not fair. I come from a country where obesity is the problem. And here these people have absolutely nothing. They barely make it from day to day. People who live out there in the dumps. You know, we ask this question, why me, when we're going through hard times? Why me? Why couldn't it be that other church member? Why me, Lord? But I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Why me? Why am I so blessed to be a Christian, to live in this great country with so many opportunities for education? God has blessed us here for a reason. Amen? What a picture. Eating scraps in the dumps. This is Pastor Hung Dara. Do you believe that God is at work in the trash dumps? Pastor Hung Dara, it's in his district that that trash dump lies, and he has a church planter by the name of Ing Nam. Ing Nam grew up digging through the trash as a child. He later meets Jesus. What does he do after he meets Jesus? What do you do after you come to church and you meet Jesus? What do you do when you leave the church during the week? You tell others about Jesus, amen? Well, he goes back into the trash dumps and he starts telling other people about Jesus. And as a result, we now have a church and a literacy school right next to the dumps for these people. People are so hungry for the Word of God. I was sharing at a church in Phnom Penh, and there's this young girl, teenager in the front, just listening so intently to everything that was being shared, just trying to soak in everything. She's got her highlighter there with the Word of God. Here's a picture of her in prayer. Why is it that the young people here are so hungry for the Word of God? I mean, is that what we see among our young people here in America? Corrie Ten Boom has said, you may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. These people have absolutely nothing. And when Jesus comes into their lives, Jesus is absolutely everything to them. He is their life. He is their joy. He is their peace. He is their future. He is everything to them. And Jesus wants to be that for us. But the problem is our lives are just so congested. We just have too many things in our lives. We're too busy. And we put Jesus back in the far corner of our hearts. No time, no room for Jesus. Jesus, you just stay back there. I've got to run my life. So we don't experience the joy, the fullness of joy, the love that overflows, the peace that passes understanding that Jesus wants to bless us with. So when God blesses us, you know what we need to do? Instead of hoarding it, what we need to do is pass on the blessings. Amen? And the more we pass on, the more God will bless us with. So better understand the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor. Bible never says blessed are the rich. Blessed are the poor. Ellen White says in Desire of Ages, love to man is the earthward manifestation of the love of God. It was to implant this love to make us as children of one family that the King of Glory became one with us. Let me go to that first line. Love to man is the earthward manifestation of the love of God. Remember what I said yesterday about how there's that horizontal relationship which results in that, there's that vertical which results in the horizontal? Okay. Love to man is the earthward manifestation. If there's true love to God, there will be this earthward manifestation of love to man. And when his parting words are fulfilled, love one another as I have loved you. When we love the world as he has loved it, then for us his mission is accomplished. God is trying to do a work in our lives. He's getting us to the place where we will love the world as Jesus loved the world. He's trying to get us out of our selfishness. We are fitted for heaven, for we have heaven in our hearts. Are you ready for heaven? If Jesus were to come tomorrow, would you be ready for him? Or do you have too much love of the world in your life? Something to think about. Okay? If Jesus were to come and take us home to heaven, you know what? A lot of us would be absolutely miserable in heaven. Because there's just too much of self, too much selfishness, too much greed in our lives. And what God wants to do is he wants to implant within us the spirit of self-sacrifice. So I finished seminary 2004. And the doors opened up for me to go to Washington to work for the Seattle Central New Life SDA Church for the English ministry. And you know what? I had missions in my blood. Do you know what I did not have in my blood? Babysitting. Now, several years earlier, before going to the seminary, I worked at this one church, and it was the most difficult, most painful experience of my life and my wife's life. In a short while, less than 1 year, my wife and I, we were burned out physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually just wiped out. And we just had to quit. And I said, God, I'm never going back to do that kind of ministry. Just be careful. Never say never. Well, I'm finishing up with seminary. I want to get involved in taking the gospel around the world. I want to finish the work. There's something about being involved in the Great Commission. But the doors open up for me to go here. And when God says go, what do? And I went on my knees. I went on my knees. You see, throughout my life, though I had gone to church, though I had gone to the seminary, I was a prayerless Christian all my life. Spent less than 5 minutes a day praying, which is the amount of time the average pastor here in North America prays every day. 5 minutes. Get up. Of course, I spent 1 hour every morning with the Lord. Begin with a little prayer. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in the spirit of prophecy. And then end with a little prayer. I would pray 3 times a day when eating meals. I'd pray a short prayer before going to sleep. 5 minutes a day. But as I was going out to this church, I needed God to show up. Because if God didn't show up, I knew I was going to die. Because I had been there before. Decided to pray at least 1 hour a day. Now that's a long time if you're only used to praying 5 minutes a day. I decided to pray 30 minutes before noon and 30 minutes in the afternoon every day. But what I realized is I had so much to pray about because I was in trouble. I needed God to show up. I was praying about everything. Praying that God would bring more people back to the church. Pray that God would raise up laborers. Pray that God would outpour his spirit. Pray that God would guide me as I would write my messages. For sure, praying an hour a day. By the second year, I'm praying 2-3 hours a day. And anyways, our church begins to grow. In a year and a half, this is what we had, and pretty much this was double the size of what we had when I first got there. We just saw God bringing people back to the church. And as our church was getting bigger, we said, we're not here just to have a good time. We're not here just to be a big, happy family. God has called us. The mission of the church is missions. And we had a real burden for our young people. North America is a very difficult mission field. Our young people, you hear them talk when they come to church. They're not interested in God. God's not number one in their lives. You know what is most important in their lives? Wearing nice clothes, driving nice cars, going to a good school, making lots of money. Now, you guys don't have that problem here, right? How do we help these young people understand why we are here at church and what our purpose is? And with much prayer, we really wanted to get our church members involved not only in local mission, but in global mission. We wanted our young people to think big and understand what it was that God was calling us to do. And after much prayer, the Lord gave us this idea. Well, we had a missionary from AFM come, and he did a weekend mission rally for us. And he shared this quote with me. Oh, let me go on to this first. John Piper says, go, send, or disobey. Mendel Taylor says, the church must send or the church will end. Okay? The strength of a church is not determined by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. Well, this missionary from AFM shared with me this quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. To show a liberal, self-denying spirit for the success of foreign missions is a sure way to advance home missionary work, for the prosperity of the homework depends largely under God upon the reflex influence of the evangelical work done in countries afar off. Thank you. In many places, Ellen White says that if the local churches will get involved in supporting the foreign mission work, God will bless the local church. And we just wanted to cooperate with God in every way possible so that he would pour out his spirit and his blessings upon our church. We decided to set aside our third Sabbath loose offerings because we're able to keep the first and third Sabbath loose offerings for the local church budget in our conference in Washington. Is that the way it is here too? And we said, you know what? We get about $300 on each Sabbath for loose offering. It's not a lot of money for us, but overseas, it could help a lot of people. Since we were Koreans, we wanted to help those in Asia who were not so well off. And at that time, the Lord led us to this ministry, Adventist Southeast Asia Projects, and we liked this because they had all these different projects. You could support Bibles, you could build a well, you could build a little church, you could support a worker. And so in 2005, December, we collected our first offering, about $300. For our second offering, we provided rice for the people of Vietnam. Back then, $20, you could feed a whole family for a month. But now it's about $40 because the price of food is going up. And after we collected the offering for this, for January, I picked up some tapes that had been sitting on my desk. My brother had given me these tapes several months earlier, saying, you got to listen to this missionary. He's got some amazing stories, and God is just literally providing him with millions of dollars. Have you heard of David Gates? First time I'd heard his messages. And I'm listening to these stories, and he's sharing these amazing stories, and then he said something I will never forget. We'll never have enough money to finish the work. Is that correct, Pastor Vin? We'll never have enough money to finish the work. He says, how much will be enough? A million? 10 million? 100 million? He says, we'll never have enough money to finish the work. We need to move forward in faith and trust the God of infinite resources to provide. I said, that made sense. And he had these stories to prove about how when he moved forward in faith, God would provide. So I said, God, I want to see you do great things. I refuse to believe that you have to be a missionary in a third world country, in a malaria high-risk area, in order to see you do great things. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because North America is a great mission field. Amen? You're a missionary or you're a mission field. You're either reaching out or you're passing out. Okay? Some of you look like you're on the verge of passing out. Okay? You got to be active in reaching out, okay? You got to get behind Pastor Vin and say, Pastor, how can I help you to reach El Monte? Amen? Amen? So, I was praying and God reminded me about our third Sabbath loose offerings. How much did I say we usually collected? 300. I thought about challenging our members with a $500 offering, but then I thought, you know what? I could easily put in 200 from my own pocket and say, we did it. I'm like, that doesn't require much faith. Thought about a $700 offering, but then I thought, you know what? It would require faith to pray for a $1,000 offering. So I showed up at church the next Sabbath. Since we provided rice for the people of Vietnam in January, we were now going to provide Bibles for the people of Vietnam in February. Isn't that nice of us? Doing all this work for the Vietnamese? I challenged my youth and young adults. If we could pray for a $1,000 offering, we could provide 200 Bibles for the people of Vietnam. What if we prayed every day till our third Sabbath in February? We prayed and we prayed, and the Lord blesses us with an offering of $4,382. We were able to provide 876 Bibles. A week before, see, we were encouraging our members to pray every day about this offering. We sent email reminders during the middle of the week, reminding them to pray. Every Sabbath, we got up in front, reminding them to pray. A visitor came a week before. He heard the announcement that we made, reminding people to pray, and he left a $1,500 check. On the Sabbath we were collecting, another visitor left a $500 check, and the rest of our members gave, and that's how we got the money. So what do you do after God blesses like this? Ask again. That's a good idea. Now, David Gates would say, when God blesses you, you ask God for just a little bit more. And that's the way you grow in faith. So we decided to pray for $4,500 so we could build 8 bamboo and thatch churches in Cambodia. Nothing fancy, dirt floor, a place where they can come together to worship. We prayed and we prayed, and the Lord blessed us with an offering of $6,684. Now, what happened on this Sabbath is that our English church leaders were invited to the mother Korean church to do the Sabbath school program to share about what God had been doing in our church. And then at the end, one of our leaders told them about the special offering and invited them to come over to participate in being a blessing. And so many parents came over, and that's how the money came in. So what do you do after this? But what if God runs out of ways to provide? We saw how God provided for the last 2 months. What if God runs out of ways to provide? That could make God look bad, huh? In Desire of Ages, Ellen White says that God has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. So if all of us came together and we made a nice long list with 900 ways that we know of how God has provided for us, how many ways does God have left? God still has 1,000. Because there's 1,000 ways of which we know nothing. Amen? So we began praying. Why do we support the work in Vietnam so much? Maybe they're special. So we're back to supporting the work in Vietnam. We provided $7,000 so we could sponsor 10 lay Bible workers for 1 year in Vietnam. We're praying and we're praying, and the Lord blesses us with $8,470. Now at this time, as we saw the money come in various ways, we knew that we were not lucky. We were not using tithe money, as some people suspected. And it wasn't because we had a lot of wealthy members in our church, though we had a few physicians in our church. And it's always nice to have a few physicians in the church. Amen? God has placed you here for a reason. We said if we serve the God of infinite resources, and if the need is so great in Southeast Asia, instead of asking God for a little bit more, why not ask God for a whole lot more? And we felt God was telling us to launch out into the deep. Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Take a step of faith. Don't stay around in the shallow waters where you feel comfortable, but launch out into the deep. What is faith? I'm not going to spend much time on this. But faith is an acronym. Fantastic Adventures in Trusting Him. Fantastic Adventures in Trusting Him. How is your Christian experience? Is it boring? If your Christian experience is boring, what you need to do is you need to step out of your comfort zone and you need to enter into the faith zone. Because when you walk by faith, your experience becomes very exciting. It's an adventure. Amen? So we began praying for $15,000 so we could support the Vietnamese and Cambodian radio ministries and also provide 500 radios. And we're praying and praying, and I have no idea where the $15,000 is going to come from. But my wife and I had a little more than $5,000 in our bank account. And you know what God starts to tell my wife and I? Why don't you put that $5,000 towards that offering? What should we do? What would you do? What would you do if God told you, hey, what you have in the bank account, I want you to give it towards the Vietnamese mission center. What would you do? Amen, do it, right? Well, see, I've been telling people, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Do you believe that? And God was saying, hey, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? I said, God, what you have given to me, I will give to help the poor. But you know what, God? I've got $40,000 school loans. I'm going to give that to you. Would God be happy to take my school loans? Absolutely. And in Psalms chapter 50, verse 22, I believe it is, it says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Is debt a burden? Anybody here in debt? Okay. Give it to the Lord. What does it say in 1 Peter 5, 7? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And you know what? I said, Lord, it's not your will that I be in debt, because in Proverbs it says, he who is a borrower is servant to the lender. I said, God, I don't want to be a servant to anybody but to you, because you're my master. And I started claiming Psalms 81, verse 10. George Mueller's favorite promise, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Actually, that verse begins by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now, in the Old Testament, in I think it's Deuteronomy, it says something similar. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage. And you know what I said to God? God, you brought me out of the house of bondage. You freed me from sin. But I believe that you also want to free me from the bondage of debt. And sorry, claim that promise. Okay. Anyways, we collected the offering for this. For this project. Do you know how much God blessed us with? Any idea? God blessed us with $22,734. Friends, did God need my money? No, we could have met the goal without it. But you know what God has shown me again and again? There are times where God asks you to take a leap of faith. He says, trust and obey. And when you do it, God shows you he is so happy. He blesses you with so much more. That happened when we first prayed for $1,000. It later happened here, and I've seen this happen again and again. And some of you have heard one of my messages on Audioverse called Increase Our Faith. My wife and I were moving out to Berrien Springs, and we started praying for a palace. And God gave us a palace. But anyways, you could go to Audioverse if you want to hear that story. But there are times where God says, step out in faith, and you obey. And God just gives you so much more to show you how pleased he is. Anyways, so I'm praying about my loans. Oh, let me finish the story. We had a physician in the church. She didn't get her winter bonus. But her winter bonus came out in May. And I believe God tapped her on the shoulder and said, you know that offering you're praying for? Why don't you turn your winter bonus in towards that offering? $20,000 winter bonus. No. I don't remember the amount. But there was another individual down in Loma Linda. He sent us $1,000 3 weeks earlier because he heard about our offerings. On the morning that we were collecting this offering, he calls me up again. And he says, is this the Sabbath you're collecting for that $15,000 offering? I said, it is. He says, the Lord impressed me a couple of mornings ago during my morning devotions to send double what I've already sent up. So we got $3,000 from him. Please make sure you spend time in the morning as you begin each day in God's word. Because that is quite often when he'll speak to you and he'll show you what it is he wants you to do. Amen? So, anyways, so I'm praying and praying and praying. For about 8 months, God, you said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. In December, somebody who knew about my loans came to me one day and says, my spouse and I have talked it over. We're going to take care of your school loans. I am debt free. I will never go into debt again. My wife became an Adventist through the SDA Language Institute in Korea many years ago. God touched her life in an amazing way. She had a dramatic conversion experience. Through the missionaries at the SDA Language Institute, God just touched her life and blessed her life. My wife's always had this dream of one day getting a degree in English. Well, she's had this dream for many years. We finally moved to Berrien Springs, Michigan, because I'm working for ASAP, and she's thinking, now's my opportunity to go study at Andrews University to get a master's in English. She applies for the program. What they tell her is that because she does not have an undergrad degree in English, she's going to have to take over 20 credits of prerequisites. That's about a year's worth of study. That's over $10,000. Well, for some reason, her application wasn't accepted, so for 1 year, we kept praying. God, you could get my wife into that program if it's your will. without her having to take the prerequisites. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? And Ellen White says that the Holy Spirit can teach you more in a moment than you can learn in a lifetime from the great teachers of the earth. So even if she had an undergrad degree, she would have forgotten most of it anyways. And can the Lord certainly help her? Absolutely. Well, a year later, on the day of our 10th wedding anniversary, she gets an email from the school saying, you're accepted into the program. So a few days later, she goes to talk to the professor, advisor. She looks over her transcript and she says, you know what? We're going to waive all 20 credits. We're going to let you enter into the master's program right away. And right now she's doing her third semester, and she has one semester left after this semester. And the Lord has provided all the money needed for her to study. I mean, we serve an amazing God. So anyways, after this, we began asking ASAP what they felt were the greatest needs, because with all the money coming in, we wanted it to go where the need was the greatest. They told us about the Vietnamese Youth Evangelist Project, started praying for $25,000. In June, I was at the Washington Conference camp meeting, which was 20 minutes away from our church. But our church members wanted to meet at the church because they wanted to see what God was going to do for the offering. After the church service at the camp meeting, I called the deacon that had counted up the money and said, how much came in? And he says, we got a little over $10,000 at church. He says, what do we do? He was a little concerned. Because up until then, Sabbath after Sabbath, month after month, we had reached our goals, but this time we didn't reach our goals. What do we tell our church members? Do we tell them that God has forsaken us? Or that God never really answered our prayers? Well, the Lord really prepared me for this experience, because a few days before camp meeting, I got a bunch of CDs from my friend Dan Augsburger in Bering Springs, Michigan, who travels around the world talking about prayer and revival. And there were these stories about men who prayed earnestly for a specific need. For example, one pastor needed $1,200, and he prayed and prayed, and he felt assured that God was going to bless him. When he received $10,000, when he received $1,000 in the mail, he kept waiting on the Lord, and a few days later, $200 more came in. There were several stories like these, and I thought about these stories, and I said, I knew God had prepared me for this experience through the stories, and God was going to come through for us. That afternoon, well, this week, deacon talks it over with his wife, and they decide to put in another $5,000. So how much do we have now? 15. I guess this deacon felt like God was in trouble and needed to help God out. Do you ever do that? You think God needs your help? Well, that evening, we baptized one of our members at camp meeting, and then we went over to that person's house for a reception. After the reception, as I was about to leave the house, this individual comes up to me and says, could you tell me how much came in this morning for the offering, because the Lord has impressed me the other day to put in whatever is needed to cover the remaining balance. So I'll get back to you. Because a few more $100 trickled in. I met him a few days later, and he writes me a check for more than $9,000. God blessed us with more than $26,000 in June. The next morning on Sunday, I'm on my knees praising the Lord, saying, God, thank you. You know, I had grown up reading stories about how God parted the Red Sea, how God fed more than 20,000 men, women, and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And here, before my very eyes, I'm seeing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm saying, God, where do we go from here? That day, I'm on my computer reading through the writings of Ellen White. I don't remember what it was I was looking for, but I came across this letter by Captain Norman Henry. I'm just going to read the underlined portions. It says, some months ago, the assurance was given me to call upon our brethren in America for help. The Lord said, continue to pray, continue to ask. I will move upon hearts, and means will come in the way I have appointed. I'm saying, God, are you speaking to me? I continue reading. It says, go forward, the Lord said. I understand the whole case, and I will send you help. Continue to pray. Have faith in me. It is for my name's glory that you ask, and you shall receive. It is for his glory that we do what? That we ask and that we would receive. We knew God wanted us to continue. We then began praying for $30,000. It took a month and 3.5 weeks for $30,000 to come in. $10,000 came to our church, and $20,000 went straight to ASAP for the exact same project we were praying for. And then we began praying for $40,000. It took 2 months, but $20,000 came through our church, and $20,000 went straight to ASAP for that project. make a long story short, the amount of money we saw come through the hands of our treasurer in this 1 year was over $120,000. It was simply in answer to united prayer. Matthew Henry, Bible commentator, has said, when God intends unrivaled blessing on his people, he sets them first a praying. Do you believe God wants to bless this church? Okay. Well, it will begin when there's much praying. Amen? And perhaps God's worked it out for us to have this revival weekend because God is longing to bless this church. Amen? I want to tell you about the perfect donation. At the start of each year at ASAP, we have 10 days of prayer. And usually we have it in the evenings, and we invite ministry leaders in the community and praying people to come and join us. But this year, we decided just to do it with our team at the office. Now, we meet in the morning from 8:30 to 9 for worship and prayer. And then several years ago, we also started meeting from 1 to 2 o'clock for prayer. And we pay our employees to come and pray because we believe that much in prayer. Prayer ought to be our primary work. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, someone has said, when man works, but when man prays, God works. So we would come together 4 times during the day, in the morning, and then between the morning worship and between lunch, we would meet together. Our whole team decided to skip lunch and fast for the 10 days during lunch. So we had the lunch hour, and we had the extra hour from 1 to 2, and then we'd meet in the afternoon again for prayer. And then a lot of us did other types of fasting. Others were on a juice fast or different thing. And we spent much time praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, praying for our needs. We also prayed that God would get us out of debt, because a lot of us were in debt. About 3 weeks after the 10 days of prayer, we received the perfect donation. Do you know what the perfect donation looks like? It's up on the screen. $77,777. Oh, good. It's not up on the screen. I thought it was up on the screen. $77,777.77. And the donor said, I want $55,000 of that to go pay off the ASAP mortgage. Is that amazing? Friends, we need to pray, and there are times when we need to pray and fast, which I'll talk more about in the next message. Anyways, got a few minutes left. I'll try to run through this. A.T. Pearson has said, living, praying, giving, and going will always be found together. Are you really living? You're not really living if you're not praying, and you're not really praying if you're not giving and going, okay? If you want to be a happy Christian, you will find these things in your life. Amen? Let me talk to you about why we need to give. Number one, giving is the antidote for selfishness, greediness, and covetousness. Do you struggle with greed? Do you struggle with covetousness? Do you come to church, and are you so distracted because someone else is driving a better car than what you drive? I don't know about your church, but this was a serious problem at our church. Everybody upgrading their Lexuses every few years. Give me a break. What are we living for? Okay. We struggle in this country. Materialism, consumerism, secularism. Giving is the antidote for selfishness, greediness, and covetousness. Ellen White has said, he has ordained that giving should become a habit that it may counteract the dangerous and deceitful sin of covetousness. Continual giving starves covetousness to death. So that's why God tells us to give tithes and offerings regularly, because that giving keeps us from becoming covetous. The reason number two why we need to give is because giving is living. We're told, give and it will be given to you. Do you believe you can't outgive God? Raise your hand. Okay. I want you to remember that you raised your hand, okay, because I'm going to come back to this. Ellen White says, our mission to the world is not to serve or please ourselves. We are to glorify God by cooperating with him to save sinners. We are to ask blessings from God that we may communicate to others. Now, when's the last time you prayed for blessings that you may bless others? Do you want to see more answers to prayers? You say, God, bless me that I may bless others. Bless me that I may bless Almonte Vietnamese Church. There's a prayer I pray every day. Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And do you know why? The writer of this prayer understood why God blesses us. It's so that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. God doesn't bless us so that we can have a nice life. He blesses us so that we can bless others. He wants us to be a channel of his blessings to a lost and dying world. But there is no life that is more exciting than that of being a channel through which his blessings flow. This is amazing. The capacity for receiving is preserved only by imparting. How is your capacity from receiving from the Lord? Do you receive nothing? Do you receive zero, zilch from the Lord? If you fail to pass on to others, guess what? You will lose your capacity to receive from God. We cannot continue to receive heavenly treasure without communicating to those around us. There's another place where Ellen White says that our capacity for receiving is enlarged as we give to others. So this is our ultimate mission challenge that we've come up with for this month. There's a quote at the top from Steps to Christ. God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Instead of depending upon the word of another, we are to taste for ourselves. How many of you here could use an iPad too? All right. Great. This is the challenge. Prove that the statement you cannot outgive God is true. Then let us know about it. Thanks to a generous donor, ASAP is giving away one new iPad to the individual with the best taste and see story. For more details about this mission challenge, please visit asapministries.org. There's information about it. We want you to get on your knees, pray, and say, God, what kind of sacrifices can I make so others in Southeast Asia can be blessed? And when God shows you, step out in faith and do it, and see if you truly cannot outgive God. And then write us your story. And we're going to take the best story, and the person with the best story is going to get an iPad too. So if you really believe you can't outgive God, or you want to taste and see that God's promises are true, I want you to participate in this mission challenge. Reason number three why we must give. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed under the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Isn't this an amazing promise? Friends, are you going through tough times? Guess what? We will be going through even tougher times in the near future. We are living in the last days. Amen? A lot of suffering. I can't believe how long the flood continues in Thailand. I mean, the whole city is just underwater. It's been several weeks now. This is one of our workers in Laos, his field, just inundated with water. These are our people in Cambodia giving thanks for the rice and the basic supplies that they were given. George Mueller, let me just talk about George Mueller and I'll wrap this up. George Mueller lived in the 1800s. In a day and age where people had no faith and didn't pray. They knew God was out there, but they didn't think that God intervened in the affairs of man. And he had this burden to help the people of his day understand that God heard and answered prayers. And so he gets married, and he and his wife, 3.5 weeks after getting married, they decide that if they have any financial need, they're not going to tell anybody about it, but they're just going to take it to God in prayer. And claim Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. During his ministry in Bristol, Mr. Mueller started the Scriptural Knowledge Institute to distribute Bibles and to give religious instruction, and he also began an orphanage. They educated and sent out into the world 121,683 pupils. They funded the annual salaries of 112 assistants. This is all by faith, never asking anybody for a dime. They supported 189 missionaries. The institution also distributed more than 281,000 Bibles, nearly 1.5 million New Testaments, and at least 111 million tracts. Over 10,000 children had been provided for through four orphan houses that God led Mr. Mueller to start. Is that amazing? This is all by faith. If you want to read an exciting book, read the autobiography of George Mueller. Over a period of 63 years, God supplied him with $7.25 million to fund these projects and more. When he died at 98, his worldly possessions were valued at $800. Isn't that the way you want to end your life? Amen. Friends, you can't take your treasures with you to heaven. But you know what you can do? You can send them on ahead. $7.25 million. To fund these projects. Do you know what the equivalent of that is in today's dollars? $87.5 million. Do you guys need like a million for the mission center? For God, that's nothing, amen? That's nothing for God, amen? If you guys will pray and you will say, God, you guys will step out in faith and you guys will make sacrifices. You really can't make a sacrifice for God. When you give to God, what does God do? He gives you back so much more. Amen? George Mueller says, the child of God must be willing to be a channel through which God's bounties flow, both with regard to temporal and spiritual things. How many of you here want to be a channel through which God's blessings can flow? Yes? Some of you undecided? This channel is narrow and shallow at first. It may be. Yet there is room for some of the waters of God's bounty to pass through. And if we cheerfully yield ourselves as channels for this purpose, then the channel becomes wider and deeper, and the waters of the bounty of God can pass through more abundantly. And George Mueller obviously became a wide channel. And through his life, God was blessing millions of people. Let me end with these words. By John Wesley. I want to encourage you to live a life of no regrets. He said, do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, by all the means you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can.